Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hi guys, Sarah here. Just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the links to Buy Me a Coffee page on our socials, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram, our blog at www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Amy. We are three Melbourne girls who have nothing better to do than start a podcast while we're all living la vida lockdown. But we're not free.
No.
No, we're not free yet. We've been in and out of lockdown ever since. So.
Yeah.
We take aim at one topic each week with a bottle or three of wine, and we try to make some sense of it and each other. And Sarah's automatic dictaphone shit she does for each segment.
Keeps things interesting.
Shakes
I
things
love
up.
It.
Anyway, ladies, what are we drinking?
Well, I'm drinking, just to go with the episode, I'm drinking the Pond Merlot, which is available from Alfie.
Delicious.
Yes. Well, I am drinking the same as I was drinking last week because, well, I'm sure my doctor wouldn't be happy that I'm drinking at all right now. But I'm drinking.
You don't need that negativity in your life, darling.
Come
see my witch doctor. She's great.
But yeah, I'll just wait until my final examinations have been done before we make that decision. So I'm drinking the Sit Stay Society Ruby's Rosé.
Thank you.
Shove it up your ass. I actually really did enjoy this. This is a really good wine. I might have to find out where my sister got it from.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. Well, I am drinking a Palazzo Small Batch Pinot Grigio, available from my Wine Pyramids game. Yes.
It's quite delicious. We did a swapsies.
Yeah.
You went red to white and I went white to red.
How white, you're red, we're drinking. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, that's all the Michael Jackson impersonations I'll be doing for this episode. So I say,
thank
5 minutes in. Anyway, Bianca, what's our topic for tonight?
Well, ladies. Listeners, our topic tonight is nursery rhymes.
Yay.
So, yeah, I was actually very excited about this.
Yeah, I know. I love nursery rhymes.
It's so interesting. So when y'all think of nursery rhymes, you don't expect plague, medieval taxes, religious persecution, and prostitution.
That was my childhood.
Well, they're not exactly the topics that you expect, like, to be immersed in as a new parent. Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah. But, like, probably right at this moment, mothers of small children, like, around the world are mindlessly singing along just to these nursery rhymes that, if you dig a little deeper, reveal a shockingly sinister backstory.
Yes, but I don't think there is one mother. Well, I mean, sleep deprivation is such a big thing, but I don't think there's one mother who hasn't sat there and listened to their child sing a nursery rhyme that they've picked up from somewhere and sat there and listened and went, oh, that's cute, and then went, wait, what? I'm pretty sure everybody's done that. Just like, oh, that's really cute, darling. Wait, what? What did you just say?
Exactly. Like, bloody babies falling from trees, Yeah, like heads being chopped off in central London, animals being cooked alive. Like, yeah, since when were these topics, like, deemed appropriate to peddle to toddlers? Like,
back when they were written, clearly, in medieval times.
Yeah, I suppose you were already drinking alcohol by, like, two.
Yeah.
From the womb.
From the womb.
It was a tough life. You needed it.
Yeah, you were dead. You're old and dead by like 15. Jesus. Yes.
Jesus Christ. If you hadn't got a like a suitor by the time you were 12 and were like married off by 14 and then like ready to have babies at 16, like Jesus Christ, spinster.
You were doomed for the rest of your life.
Oh,
all heck, 5 years of it.
Yeah. Oh, and your parents are mad because they can't get rid of you. Like, your dad's out there offering cows.
Yeah.
Just go. Take my daughter and 3 cows and 2 goats. Cool.
That, or they just send you off to an asylum because clearly that's where you belong. But oh, you can't attempt to find a husband. She can't find a husband. There's something wrong with her.
Yeah, but it, like, I mean, just to play devil's advocate here, I mean, how many times I think that my kid probably deserves to be in an asylum sometimes. I feel that shifting off a 12-year-old to an asylum sounds reasonable to me.
With you as her mother, I'm pretty sure it's understandable.
You're her aunt, mate. You've got a hand in this too. So,
nah, I'm blaming
you. Yeah, but
I'm
not. Yeah, but Sarah and I are not like ordinary aunts. We're like wine aunts. We're
but
cooler.
Like mum, but cooler. Yeah.
And we're wine aunts. Sorry, yeah. That's not cool.
We're the cool aunts. Sorry. Yeah. You're just the crazy mother.
Mm. And we deem that okay for my child to go off and tell her grade 2 class. So, yeah, we feel these people who wrote those nursery rhymes about, you know, horrible backstories. This is fine.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, it does hail all the way back to like the 14th century, so yeah, it was pretty commonplace back then, so we're pretty spot on.
It was why not back in then those days too.
Yes, almost definitely.
And they weren't just those three crazy women that everybody deemed witches down the road either. No.
Our ancestors.
Definitely were our ancestors.
So, yes, nursery rhymes. That's right. Tangent. Yeah, back on topic. Cool. I come back full circle. It happens sometimes. So the golden age for nursery rhymes was actually the 18th century when the canon of classics that we still hear today emerged and they flourished. So the first nursery rhyme collection to be printed was Tommy Thumb's Songbook, and that was around 1744. A century later, Edward Rimbault published a nursery rhymes collection, which was the first one printed to include notated music, although a minor key version of Three Blind Mice can be found in Thomas Ravenscroft's
Ravenclaw's.
I know, that's all my brain wanted to say. Thomas Ravenclaw, like he was the fucking founding buddy for.
Anyway, that was Rowena. This is her brother.
No, it was Thomas. It was Harry Potter and the Mystery of the Fucking Dark Fucking Nursery Rhymes. That's what that was.
Yeah. So he has a folk song compilation, Deuteromalia, dating from 1609. So it's quite early. Mm. So the scientists, I don't know. Let's call them scientists. Literarians. Nursery rhyme scientists say that the roots to nursery rhymes probably go back even further than the 14th century. There is no human culture that has not invented some sort of rhyming ditties for its children. The distinctive sing-song meter, tonality, and rhythms that characterizes motherese has proven evolutionary value. Yeah, has a proven evolutionary value and is reflected in the very nature of nursery rhymes. So according to child development experts Sue Palmer and Ross Bailey, nursery rhymes with music significantly aid a child's mental development, and they're also their spatial reasoning. Seth Lehrer, Dean of Arts and Humanities at the University of California, San Diego, has also emphasized the ability of nursery rhymes to foster emotional connections and cultivate language. It is a way of completing the world through rhyme, is what he says.
And if your bastard kids don't listen to you, put it to a song. It bloody works. What's that one? One, two, tie my shoe, three, four, shut the door. You know, that gets kids to do what you're telling them to do. You can scream at them, tie your shoes, tie your shoes, tie your shoes. They're not going to listen to you. Put it to a song. Oh, yeah, they're all over it.
The Vikings used to do the same kind of thing. They never used to write down anything to do with battles.
No.
So they used to put it into a song and rhyme. Yeah, and that's how they recorded. Yeah, that was how they recorded their history through
song and
rhyme.
Tunes. Yeah, all about the bloody mead and tunes. And fucking same.
I'm in.
So in. I mean, I was always in because Vikings are amazing.
Hot.
Oh, so good. So, yes, that's with that little bit of psych out of the way, I'll go into my nursery rhymes that I picked. So the first one, Bah Bah Black Sheep. Now, this has been commonly, misconstrued, misinterpreted, yeah, that's a word. About slavery and picking cotton. Well, nursery rhyme scientists say it's actually about the medieval wool tax. And this was imposed in the 13th century by King Edward I. Under the new rules, a third of the cost of a sack of wool went to him, another went to the church, and the last third went to the farmer. In the original version, nothing was therefore left for the little shepherd boy who lives down the lane.
That poor bastard who had to fucking carry all of that heavy ass fucking wool down to the market. Yeah. Poor bastard.
Yeah. And also at the time, black sheep were also considered bad luck because their fleeces were unable to be dyed at the time. And so the farmers made no money off it.
Because you couldn't use black wool for pretty much anything else other than for morning clothes.
You weren't
wearing your morning clothes, you know, all the time. I often wear black. I have a black on black ensemble that I just love and I wear all the time.
The sheep were just, you know, ahead of their time.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a black sheep, this would have been fine for me.
Yeah,
exactly. Same. So, yes, that's Bah Bah Black Sheep. My next one is Rockabye Baby. So this refers to the events preceding the Glorious Revolution. The baby in question is supposed to be the son of King James II of England, but was widely believed to be another man's child, smuggled into the birthing room to ensure a Roman Catholic heir. The rhyme is laced with connotation. The wind may be the Protestant forces. Yeah, I can't even speak. Blowing in from the Netherlands. The doomed cradle, the royal house of Stuart. The earliest recorded version of the words in print contain the ominous footnote. This may serve as a warning to the proud and ambitious, who climb so high, they generally fall at last. And many people believe it refers to SIDS.
Yeah, I almost think the SIDS thing sounds more likely.
Yeah, it's no. Nursery rhyme scientist said no.
Damn them and their nursery rhyme science.
I know. So my next one is a ladybird, ladybird. So this is also about the 16th century Catholics in Protestant England. And it's about the priests who were burned at the stake for their beliefs. Your house is on fire. Your children are gone. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I mean, I'm not religious and I oppose it. You know, I'm an atheist. It's fine. Happy to be one. That's horrendous.
That actually might go in with mine, actually, just thinking.
It does because yours is around the same time.
Yeah. I'll hit on that one later. Yeah.
So I've got two left. The first one is Pop Goes the Weasel. So this is it's a nonsensical rhyme. But upon inspection, reveals itself to be, in fact, about poverty, pawnbroking, the minimum wage, and hitting the Eagle Tavern on London City Road.
So it's a pub crawl.
It's a pub crawl.
But we're singing Pop Goes the Weasel every time we go out now. One time every 5 years.
Yeah.
It sounds like a bitch's night out. Poverty, pawnbroking, and minimum wage. Oh, and hitting a pub. Pop
Goes the Weasel.
Pop Goes the Weasel. It definitely sounds like our night out.
I feel like the weasel might be a champagne model. So Pop Goes the Weasel.
Oh, gosh. Next time you've got to sing that. I don't care what company you're in. And please get someone to film it and send it to me. Thank you.
It'll be me doing a selfie because I'm so proud of it. No one will have any idea what I'm doing, so it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. So my last one is Goosey, Goosey Gander, where do you wander? Upstairs and downstairs and in my lady's chamber. I love that one. It's so cute.
It's not, though.
Because it's an allusion to prostitutes.
Yeah. That's right. You don't have to be a nursery rhyme scientist to work that one out.
So, commonly known as geese in the 18th century, prostitutes were called geese, apparently.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, in certain parts of what is England. And so the spread of venereal disease, which is known as goosebumps because of the spellings it caused.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I'm like, wait, is that the origin of goosebumps? Ew. I'm never going to call
those little bump things goosebumps again.
No. So those little bump things, they have a totally different origin. When you rip the feathers out of a goose to make down, right, it comes up with bumps that look like our goosebumps when we have it on our skin.
That's why the venereal disease book was called Goosebumps for the same reason. Oh, that's so gross. Goosebumps is gross. I don't like goosebumps as a word anymore.
I didn't like goosebumps as a word anyway because it refers to the fact that you're ripping fucking down out of a live goose and you're looking at the flesh underneath.
Yeah. It's worse.
Were they alive or had they already killed them?
Often live, mate. That's how they do it. And then they grow more and then they rip it out. Yeah, it's gross. It's
back
fucking
then
rippy.
They would have been dead. Cause they
down is live.
Back in those days, they would have gone out. We're going to eat this fucking goose.
No. We're hungry. Down is live. Anyway, it's not my turn yet.
Yeah, it's your turn now.
All right. Yeah.
This is the only time I'm going to ask you to talk, so just go. Okay.
Be quick about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the nursery rhyme that I am taking aim at tonight is Ring a Ring a Rosie. Now, you may think you know the origins of this nursery rhyme, as I did before I did some research on it, but you may not know what you think you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. It is unknown.
I'm excited.
Yeah. You may not know what you think you know. Yeah.
Yep.
It is unknown what the earliest version of the rhyme was or when it began. Many of the versions of the game that children played with this nursery rhyme had a group of children form a ring, dance in a circle around a person, and then stoop or curtsy with the final line. The slowest child to do so was faced with a penalty. Penalty shots!
Yeah. Oh.
Or becomes the Rosie, which is the center person in the ring. Now, there's a quite a few different versions of this rhyme. So the Brits say, ring a ringer, oh roses, a pocket full of posies, a tissue, we all fall down. North Americans say, ring a ring around the Rosie, a pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Our Maori friends in NZ say, I can't say it with a Maori accent because I've had too much to drink and I'm going to fuck it up. So, ring around the roses, a pocket full of posies. Karoo, karoo, we all fall down. Yeah. I think it's.
We're sorry. That was so bad.
I know, right? I can't actually say the Maori word, so apologies to our Maori friends about that. Anyway, Lady Mondegreen says, ring a ring a rosy, pocket full of posies, a tissue, we all fall down, which that's is a correct. Mix of the American and the British versions, and that's what I heard growing up. Well, that's what I heard growing up, and that's a bit of a Mondegreen between like the Brits version and the North Americans version.
Australia's Mondegreens, it's fine.
We're a bunch of Mondegreens over here. Come visit. Yeah. Anyway, so there are many European versions which translate to basically the same as the English version. The version of the rhyme was published in Germany in around 1761. So that's around the same time that Bianca was saying that nursery rhymes were actually being published around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in 1881, it was published in the English language. However, there are other reports that the rhyme was actually being sung to its current tune in the 1790s. Origins and the meanings of the game have long been unknown and subject to speculation. Okay, so you know how you said nursery rhyme scientists? Folklore scholars. However,
Same thing.
Folklore scholars, however, regard the great plague explanation.
And your degree is useless. Sorry about it.
Yeah, your degrees are useless. Fucking nursery rhyme scientist. That says they've got a degree. I've got a folklore scholar. That's just some asshole who's been reading them for fucking years. That's nobody. Anyway, folklore scholars, however, have regarded the great plague explanation, that is the most common since the mid-20th century, as completely fucking baseless. Yeah, wow. You heard it. Yeah. Wait, I'll explain why. Okay. Since after the Second World War, the rhyme has often been associated with the Great Plague, which happened in England in 1665, or with earlier outbreaks of the Black Death in England. Interpreters of the rhyme before World War II make no mention of this. None. So they were already looking at the rhyme before it appeared after World War II. So by 1951, it seems to be well established as an explanation for the form of the rhyme that has become standard in the United Kingdom. Peter and Iona Opie, the leading authorities on nursery rhymes, I didn't do any research as to why they're the leading authorities. Don't ask. I don't fucking know.
Because no one else wanted to do it.
Because clearly no one cares.
Peter and Iona just turned up one day and said, we are the leading authorities on nursery rhymes. And
we have read all of them.
Peter said nothing. He stood there meekly and they looked at fucking Iona's Karen haircut and went, oh, okay.
And then she asked to speak to the manager. Yeah. So that was what made them the leading authorities. Yeah. Anyway, it sounds like a pretty logical, explanation when you think about it. It's about the Black Death, right? So let's think about it. The invariable sneezing, the falling down in modern English versions have given what would be origin finders the opportunity to say that the rhyme dates back to the Great Plague. A rosy rash, the algae, a symptom of the plague, the posies of herbs that were carried around as protection to ward off the smell of the disease, sneezing or coughing, which was the final symptom, and then they all fall down, which is exactly what happened. That's pretty much what Peter and Iona's explanation was. Yeah, they're just like, okay, yeah, well, it makes sense, right? Seems logical, right? Yeah, well, there's plenty of counter arguments to say, no, that doesn't really fit. So the plague explanation didn't appear until the mid-20th century. If this has been around since the 17th century, well, why would this have not been something that was well and truly established before mid-20th century, right? Yep. The symptoms don't necessarily fit with the Great Plague. It sounds like they do, but when you actually look at it, no, it doesn't really fit. It sort of does, but not really.
No, yeah.
So the great variety of forms, it makes unlikely that the modern form is the most ancient one, and then the words which the interpretation are based on are not found in many of the earliest records. So basically what that means is that, well, when you're interpreting it in the mid-20th century, why is it that you're taking the very first version of the song and not its adaptations? Why are you interpreting that one specifically when the reason for the rhyme didn't appear until a lot later? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, I mean, you go around in circles, and I'm like, I read this sentence when I fucking copied it and I just went, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, there's a rabbit hole and I'm going down it. Bye, guys. Fuzzy tail deep now. Now, the other reason was European and 19th century versions of the rhyme suggest that the fall was not literally falling down, but it was a curtsy of or other form of bending movement that was common with other dramatic singing games.
Oh,
yeah.
Dramatic singing games.
Well, I mean, they're children. Everything's fucking dramatic. In fact,
One that I didn't do was the bloody oranges and lemons.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and you held your arms up and people walked through and you chopped the heads off. Oh, my God. That's so horrific. I was going to do that one and I was like, nah. It's a bit of a downer.
On a side note, I was actually, I got a notice in my inbox saying, your OneDrive is well over its limit. You need to do something about that. So what I did was I spent all day today cleaning out my OneDrive, which I was just basically copying all my folders, my photos and videos and stuff like that across to my external hard drive. And I came across a gem of my daughter, and she would have been about 2 or 3, a playgroup with all of her friends singing this rhyme. And when you say dramatic singing games, oh, my God, have you seen two-year-olds do this? Yeah. We all fall down. My daughter took 3 spins and then slowly laid on the ground. Yeah. Other kids just threw themselves to the ground. Yeah. Quite horrifically, really, when you think about it. Those thuds. Yeah. They're probably not good. Anyway, this is where it gets strange, guys. Bear with me. Okay. So growing up, I was taught a second verse, being the cows are in the meadow eating buttercups. A tissue, we all jump up. Apparently, this is not common around the world, and it's an Australian or British adaptation. Yeah. I actually cannot find a source of the second verse.
What?
It seems I freaking Google it, mate. I went down a rabbit hole. Trust
me. How do we know it then? Oh, that's so bizarre.
Just hear me out. Hear me out.
Okay.
And it seems that many other countries have adopted different second verses.
What?
So the North Americans sing this. The cows are in the meadow eating buttercups. Thunder, slap the floor. Lightning, clap. We all stand up.
I'm sorry, what in the actual dickery?
So the common theme in the second verse is something about cows in a meadow and then everyone jumping up at the end. I cannot find origins of the second verse.
When we talked about nursery rhymes, sorry to interject, but when we talked about nursery rhymes, you mentioned you were going to do this, and I was like, oh, Yeah, and there's that second verse, and I said what it was about. How? I'm sorry, but to my core, I thought the second verse was about smallpox.
No, there was something on a blog somewhere about saying that it might be about that, but there's actually nothing to that. There is nothing that I can find.
I just can't believe that.
Yeah, Google it yourself.
It really could have just been made to get the kids up off the floor.
That's where I was going. Wikipedia does not refer to any of the second part of this song.
Really? And look,
I'm just going to say Wikipedia drafted most of my segment for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, they drafted it. Yeah. And it only told me what some of the versions of the second verse, the internet only told me what some of the versions of the second verse were, not where they came from and not what they meant.
Wow.
It's all mummy bloggers going, what's that second verse? What does it mean? And then, like, I don't know, is it about this? I can't find the origin, cannot find it. So I think the second verse was just chucked in there to get the kids off the floor, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's basically what happened. Mm-hmm. I used to think the first verse was something to do with the play, but now I'm completely unconvinced. I picked this one because I thought it was going to be a slam dunk. Yeah. Oh, this is going to be easy. Yeah, look up freaking Ring-a-Ring-a-Rosie. It's about the plague. Bang, bang, bang. Done. Nope. I was fuzzy tail deep in a fucking rabbit hole for 3 hours.
Suck it, bitch.
Yeah. God damn it. You think you know everything. It turns out you're fucking wrong.
I'm so shooketh. Oh, my God. Sarah, tell us what you've got. I can't even. I need to be shocked some
more. Yeah. Well, look, the fact is these nursery rhymes have been going for so many centuries, and it's a nursery rhyme. No one has written down. There is no book going, okay, so this nursery rhyme, what are we making? We're making a nursery rhyme about this. Okay, we're writing it about this. Okay, we're writing a nursery rhyme about this. So historians will know what it is.
Yeah.
Right? No one has done that. So
there are thousands of books about nursery rhymes. What are you talking about?
Yes, but none that were made at the time that the nursery rhyme was actually made, stating exactly what the nursery rhyme is about.
Oh, so yes, what the nursery rhyme is at the time, not what its meaning was or the origin. Yes, yeah. Correct.
So there's nothing to state from the time it was made what it was actually about. It's basically kids coming up with shit, so they're not bored. Just saying. Or Vikings just trying to remember shit.
Yeah.
Okay?
No. Turn lights up at night.
But, you know, more about, you know, horrific battles and shit. So growing up, we had a book of nursery rhymes. It's still somewhere in the house. I think it might be in the shed. But we've read it to pretty much every fucking child that has been born in our family.
Some that hasn't been born there either. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my kid got a few of those nursery rhymes read to her, but yeah.
Yeah. So one of my favourites is actually sung by my mother. It's called The Little Blue Man, and it was about this little blue man that followed this woman around telling her how much he loved her, and only she could see him. He just followed around saying how much, I love you, I love you. And then she fucking finally cracked it, went to the rooftop and pushed him off the roof.
Hey.
Yeah.
This is definitely a nursery rhyme your mum would have told you.
She used to sing it all the time. I fucking loved it.
It explains so much.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then in the end, he's just, because, you know, he's like an imaginary figure. He stood up and looked at her and went, I don't love you anymore.
Leaves. God. I'm giggling it until she cracked the sheets.
The sheets. Oh, God.
That's where she went all NZ.
Yeah.
She cracked the sheets.
You can Google the song. It's called The Little Blue Man. You can Google it and listen to it.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm just, I've had too much wine and I'm theorizing now. You know what that could be about? That could be like about her depression. The little blue man's following around going, I love you. And she's like, no, I don't want you anymore. Boom. Fuck off. I'm going to be happy.
Yeah, it could have been like about the trank pills that the doctor had given her for the ghost in her blood.
Maybe. All she wanted to do was go out shopping, but then she got attacked by this little blue man who was confessing his undying love.
Oh,
and yeah, she was definitely high from all the cocaine. Yeah.
I think it's her depression. Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so my daughter was actually a fan of a nursery rhyme that she used to get to tell me, like get me to tell her, sorry, constantly, so fucking many times, like sometimes like 5 times per night. And it was called The Dark, Dark Woods. And in the dark, dark woods, there was this dark, dark house. And in the dark, dark house, there was a dark, dark door. And it kind of goes on until, you know, you open up the door.
I know that one.
And there's a box. And in the box, there's a fucking ghost.
No, when you open up the cupboard, there's the anchor.
Yeah, when you open up the closet, there's the anchor. But, yeah, she used to get me to tell it because, you know, you kind of just jump at her and scare her at the end. And she loved it. She fucking loved it. So many nights she'd get me to tell her that. But this week I've decided to do Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary.
How does your garden grow?
Is
a witchcraft will burn you. Yeah.
It could be a little bit of witchcraft. No. So I actually found a couple of people that this could be actually referring to. So there's no exact, again, there is no exact who this is. But the first Mary was Mary, Queen of Scots. So the garden that they refer to is her lineage because, you know, I don't think she had children.
Yeah, she did. She had a son.
Yeah, but we don't know if it was hers.
No, it was.
Are you sure?
The whole thing. Yeah, that was the whole thing. Yeah, she had a son. Yep.
Say that, but we don't know.
It's history, man.
Anyway. Yeah, but, you know, history can be written in whatever way that they want it to be written. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes, so the garden refers to her lineage.
It's not make-believe. It's history. It happens.
Yeah.
There was a man and he was writing things down and it became history, otherwise known as current events.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Cassius.
Look, we're just going to leave it with that. The silver bells and cockle shells are supposed to be ornaments that were on her dress that her first husband, the Dauphin of France, had given her.
I don't know. I just made that up.
I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it. When I dictated it into my phone.
Dauphin of France.
When I dictated it into my phone, it did come up as the Dauphin of France. Yes, I had to kind of fix that. That's one of the fuck-ups that I actually caught at the time. And the pretty maids in a row were her ladies-in-waiting, the famous four Marys. The other Mary was Mary the First, or Bloody Mary, as she was most commonly known. So she was a devout Catholic. And upon taking the throne after the death of her poor brother, Edward VI, she restored the Catholic faith to England. So Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary, how does your garden grow? The garden is referring to England itself. And the silver bells and cockle shells were actually torture instruments. So apparently the silver bells were thumbscrews. And I couldn't find what
Jesus
cockle shells were. But
you can imagine, right?
They don't sound pleasant. They don't.
No.
Yeah. And, yeah, they were devices that were used against the Protestants in order to try to get them to change their faith.
Jesus.
The maiden, that was also an instrument that was used. And for some reason it says that it was used to behead people. But from what I know, the Iron Maiden was more of a box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe there is another maiden that that was a little bit like a guillotine. And the pretty maids all in a row were referred to the mass executions of Protestants during Mary's reign.
Ah.
Now, I like that theory just a little bit better.
She sounds like a peach.
She was so lovely, and she didn't rule for very long until her sister.
Fucking wonder why.
Well, her sister took over. That's why.
You bitch are crazy.
Yeah,
but you need to calm your shit.
Elizabeth the First was also not much better. She was also a bit of a crazy bitch, but you know.
A little bit less crazy than their sister, okay?
Let's just put it out there. The entire Tudor family was just a little bit crazy.
And they wrote.
Weren't they? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love that theory because it does work in with the theory of the three blind mice. That the three blind mice were actually three Protestant bishops who unsuccessfully conspired to overthrow Bloody Mary and were burned at the stake for their heresy. And they believed that the blindness that they refer to in the rhyme was actually about their religious beliefs.
That's an interesting tangent, but I think it's really interesting that whoever has come up with this rhyme refers to Mary as a farmer's wife.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
That's like, bitch, slap me down. Like, you are nothing more than a commoner, you fucking weak piece of shit. That's what that says to me.
Are you a person of the people? It could be seen that way.
Farmer's wife. You ain't shit. You ain't shit, bitch.
Well, that kind of goes in with the one Bianca was talking about, the Ladybird as well.
Yeah.
Because it all kind of happened around the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's that one. I was also going to touch on London Bridge.
I'll touch it.
So, London Bridge, there.
Count it. I don't care.
Yeah. So London Bridge was commonly believed to be the story of a Viking attack in 1014 by Olaf.
Yeah.
I love that guy. He's impressive. Yeah.
So, the second was believed, but you know, look, the whole Viking thing was a little bit up and down because I don't think historians can really work out if the attack ever happened.
Where they supposedly first landed, it wasn't even England, it was called Northumberland, and like, really?
Northumberland. But they believed that,
like, big states, that's what it was like. And you had kings of each one. Like,
It was literally fucking Game of Thrones.
It was before William the First.
Yeah.
So
Game of Thrones, exactly.
Yeah. So they also believe that if it is more towards that, that it could have, London Bridge could have actually originated from the Vikings. And they're just, you know, making themselves sound really cool by burning London Bridge.
I honestly, if you had said to me, When was London Bridge built? I don't know, like the 1600s or something. I didn't know that it predated, like, well before then. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I would have said the 1600s, like Sherlock Holmes.
Yes. No. Around, you know, the Black Plague, you know, finding a way out.
Okay.
Not quite, because Shakespeare actually moved his theatre from one side to another over the bridge. But, you know.
There you go. I wouldn't have known.
Another theory is that London Bridge is actually... The people who built London Bridge believed that the foundations needed to be human sacrifices or else the bridge would fall down, as most buildings are built on human sacrifice. So they believe that most of the human sacrifices were children and that the children's ghosts would protect the bridge.
Who trusts kids to do anything? Yeah. This is their first mistake.
Well, there has been no proof that there are bones underneath London Bridge. I don't know any architectural school who would have turned around and said, yes, this is how you build a bridge. Kill a whole bunch of people, put them down.
Small children.
Mostly children. Yes. Put them down and then build the bridge on it. They'll help stabilize it.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably what the Romans were doing. So the Roman military built the first bridge. It was a pontoon type. And it was built in around 50 AD.
Well, there you go.
Fucking hell.
Very
50.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. I'm floored. Okay.
All right.
Stop with your bridge history, Bianca. You're going down a rabbit hole. Stop with your bridge history. Let Sarah finish.
Because I've got another one.
Okay.
Okay. So Humpty Dumpty.
Oh, that poor Eggman.
Yeah. So Humpty Dumpty wasn't a person.
No, of course he wasn't.
No. And he wasn't an egg.
No.
He was, in fact, a siege cannon.
Yeah, of course he was.
Who the Royalist forces during the English Civil War that raged between 1642 and 1651.
That was a long time. Yep.
Yep. Between the parliamentaries, so the Roundheads and the Kingsmen, the Cavaliers. So Oliver Cromwell versus, you know, the king.
Yeah, that dude.
Yeah, you know, old Ollie. So Humpty was placed. Yeah, all right. So Humpty was placed on top of St. Mary at the Walls Church for 11 weeks, where it sat there blasting away the Roundhead troops defending the town.
Oh.
Yeah. So he sat there quite happily killing people until the church tower was eventually blown up in a rampage. In a rampage? In an attack. I don't know why it says in the rampage. It was a rampage of Roundheads. So once the tower was blown up, Humpty fell, but it fell into the surrounding marshlands. So he was a big fucking cannon.
Couldn't they just pick him back up? Like, what's the problem here?
Because they're being attacked and over, you know, like fucking swarmed and overpowered. So they didn't have time to fucking pull him out and try to fucking fix him.
He wouldn't have gone up there as a whole piece. He would have been put together up there.
Yeah.
Surely.
So they would have to take him apart. Oh, just leave him.
Too hard.
Coming from, like, people who've moved houses. Yeah. I mean, moving a fucking fridge is hard enough.
Yeah.
Like, imagine moving a fucking cannon. Fuck off.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's why they couldn't put Humpty together again, because they were overpowered and
hard, and that cunt's heavy.
So. Yeah,
it's hard. Think of all the stairs. There's no elevator.
Yep, that's right. And then, the Royalists were, well, pretty much defeated. Christmas was cancelled and...
Oh.
Yeah, literally Christmas was cancelled. It was against the law to celebrate Christmas. or have any form of fun.
Ah.
Yeah. Ah.
Well, no wonder so many times.
That lockdown.
It was a full-blown lockdown, except for, you know, the Puritans, who thought it was the greatest thing that had ever happened.
Yeah.
They sat there and ate their onions happily.
This might have been the reason why so many of them tried to fucking swim to France at this point, and there were so many that died.
Yeah.
Well... Afterwards, they actually brought in, Charles II, who was, you know, Charles I, the king at the time, his son, and he restored the monarchy.
Righto. I always thought
also the guy after
was about one of the French kings.
Yeah, apparently it was about a siege cannon.
Huh.
Also, bonus one that I'm just going to say off the top of my head because I haven't written it down. Old Mother Hubbard is actually suspected to be about King Henry VIII and the bishop, cardinal at the time, who wouldn't give him another annulment.
Oh.
So, you know.
Okay.
Why was he depicted as a woman?
No,
that would King have been a real insult.
Well, it was the bishop.
Oh,
was depicted as the woman. Went to the cupboard to get the annulment. Oh, but there was none to be had.
Oh,
he went, oh my father's gone. Deal with your wife.
He needs the bone.
And he's the dog who gets none.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is amazing. thing. It's just like me and the fucks I have left to give to the world. Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, this was the Catholic Church.
Went to the cupboard. She has no more fucks left. The end.
Yeah, pretty much that was the Catholic Church. Old Mother Hubbard went to her old Christian church, went to the cupboard and went, oh, I've got no fucks for you, King. Soz. My bad. But
Old
in
Mother
this.
Mother Hubbard has just become my favourite nursery rhyme now.
But in the end, you know, he just went off and went, well, fuck you, I'm making my own religion. Yeah. Which, just saying, many have done since.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, guys, let's wrap this up. Yes. I have had so much fun researching this topic because I went down so many rabbit holes. I can't find the origin of the second verse of Ring a Ring a Rosie. So if anybody can find them and anybody can explain to me how this works, please, please tell me because I've gone through so many mummy blogs and I still don't get it. So
I was really hoping Amy would have an answer.
Any time travelers that have traveled back to said time and just gone, hey, can you tell me what this is about?
Yeah.
And then come home if you'd like to tell
us. That'd be great.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I've had so much fun researching this topic as I have with all the other topics over the past year. However, we need some topic suggestions because our brains only stretch so far. We are in lockdown number 6. That's not going to end for quite some time. We've been in lockdown for 84 years. And our brains are fried. Yeah. Help us. That'd be great. If you've got a topic which you would like us to discuss, please email us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. All our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram. Hit us up. Hit us up at our blog. Basically anywhere that you can get a hold of us, we want to hear from you guys. Tell us everything. Okay, so to everybody who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for getting to this point in the podcast because I feel like nobody does. Yeah. And also thank you for your time in listening to our rubbish. We hope that you found it entertaining and are not using any facts discussed in this recording to make important decisions in your lives. Definitely think about what you're saying to your kids when you say
this. Don't. It will ruin it.
I purposely, the one I don't want to know, nobody tell us. Please do not write in. It's a busy spider. It is cute. I don't want to know. Nobody tell me. I wish to be a person.
Look.
Pretty sure it's self-explanatory.
Unless you want to ruin a childhood, don't. Yeah.
There's a fun one about Little Miss Muffet too, and if anybody else knows that, send it in because I've already looked at that one. Yeah.
Well, there's also Little Jack Horner that I looked into, but
anyway.
Yeah.
So please think about what you're telling your children before you just blindly recite some shit that you've heard when you were a child, because you might be damaging kids. Yes, stop it.
Yeah, just do it.
No, my psychology told you it's perfectly fine and kids like it.
Yeah.
It helps their brains develop.
It does.
Never ever said rockabye baby to my child. So anyway, so we wholly suggest that you research your nursery rhymes and also purchase and use a protection chainsaw from all the scary people that might come into your life. Like, I don't know. What did Sarah say? The Vikings might burn down your London Bridge or something like that. So, yeah. Get a protection chainsaw, people. That's us out. Peace out, guys. Good night.
Bye.